Great. So open the Bible, please. The Bible should be on the shelf, the seat in front of you. Mark, we have the slide, please, the page. There we go. Page 1023. Page numbers are at the top of the page. 1023. If there's any youngsters, you can't see the screen, but the board, I'm going to be putting pictures up. You might want to move a bit so you can see the board. There's some spaces at the front, or you could see if someone will swap at the end of the row with you so you can see down the gaps. So I am reading from verse 25. It was 9 in the morning when they crucified him. Who is the him? Jesus. Yeah. The written notice of the charge against him, against Jesus, read, "The King of the Jews." They crucified two rebels with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "So, you who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, come down from the cross and save yourself." In the same way, the chief priests and the teachers of the law mocked him among themselves. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. Let this Messiah, this King of Israel, come down now from the cross that we may see and believe." Those crucified with him also heaped insults on him. At noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. And at 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing near heard this, they said, "Listen, he's calling Elijah." Someone ran, filled a sponge with wine vinegar, put it on a staff, and offered it to Jesus to drink. "Now, leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down," he said. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion, it's a Roman soldier, when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus saw how he died, he said, "Surely this man was the Son of God." Some women were watching from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James the Younger, and of Joseph and of Salome. In Galilee, these women had followed him and cared for his needs. Many other women who'd come up with him to Jerusalem were also there. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Bible tells us that God has made us. There is a God who has made everything in the universe. And he makes everything in the universe work. And he knows everything in the universe. There's no dark room you can go in and hide from. Can't hide under the covers so God can't see you. He knows us everywhere and every place. He's in charge of everything. But the Bible says we can be that God's children, so that he's our Father who loves us and cares for us. We can know his plans. And we can live the best life his way. So how can that be? How can we, ordinary people like us, tiny, tiny little ants on the world, if you think how big the world is compared with the universe, how can we be God's children? How can we have best life his way? And the Bible says it's by Jesus. And we're learning today from the book called Mark, which tells us about Jesus and is going to help us know a bit more about how we can be God's children, having the best life. Can I have the slide, Mark? Mark is one of 4 books about Jesus in the New Testament. There you've got, I've made a copy there of the front page of these Bibles, which is the list of all the books. The next slide shows us that 4 of those, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, are what we call the Gospels, the books about Jesus. And we're looking at one of those, the one that's written by a man called Mark. Now, Mark's book has got 3 sections. Next slide shows us that. Here we go. The first section is in Galilee, which is a region in the north, in the Middle East area. And then the last section in Jerusalem, which is in the south. And then the next slide shows us the middle section is the journey between. So in the Galilee part of Mark's gospel, it was where Jesus did most of the amazing things. There was one time he and his friends were in a boat and there was a terrible storm and the friends thought they were going to die. And Jesus stood up in the boat and said to the wind, be still, and to the sea, be calm. And the storm stopped. And there was another time when there was a girl who was dead and Jesus took her hand and lifted her up and she came alive again. Jesus did extraordinary things. So what have I got here? Oh, yes. There was a time when there was only 5 loaves and 2 fish between 5,000 people, and Jesus broke them and shared them, and there was enough for everyone to eat more than they needed and to collect loads left over. Then on the journey, one of Jesus' friends realized that Jesus is God's special king, the Christ, and now Jesus spends time with his special friends and explains what will happen. That 3 times he says, I'm going to go to Jerusalem and the enemies will take me prisoner and kill me. And God speaks to Jesus on the mountain. In the first section he'd spoken. In the second section he spoke here. So that's the journey. So that's why I've got a boot. God speaks to Jesus and he says, actually to Jesus' friends, he says, this is my son whom I love. Listen to him. In the first section, when Jesus was baptized, God ripped open the heavens and the Holy Spirit came down onto Jesus and God's voice came from heaven there and said, this is my son whom I love. So he said that in the first section. Second section on the mountain, he said to the disciples, this is my son, listen to him. And then in the third section, when they get to Jerusalem, that's when there's loads of big arguments and Jesus goes to the temple and he throws out the people who are acting badly in the temple, and he says, this is a place for praying, not for selling things. But the enemies capture Jesus and they kill him on the cross. And so that's the third section. And the grown-ups, the adults have been in here, church. This is the third week we're doing this. So 2 weeks ago, we looked at section 1 in Galilee, where Jesus did the amazing things. Last week, we looked at section 2. Jesus on the mountain, the voice from heaven saying, this is my son, listen to him. And Jesus saying he will die. And this week, we're where Jesus dies in section 3. That helps you understand the whole book of Mark. And that's a really good thing to have, because that might mean you can now go away and read the whole book of Mark. And it'll make it easier for you. As we get older as Christians, as we spend more time knowing God's word, we ought to read more of it and maybe read a whole book. A lot of us will only read one verse or maybe perhaps a chapter, and that feels like a lot. Could you read a whole book of the Bible? Here are some great ones to start with. In the Old Testament, you could read Jonah. You know the story of Jonah? It's a great story. It's quite short and easy to read. Ruth, it's a bit of a romance book. It's a lovely story, and that's short and easy to read. The New Testament, you might read 1 Peter or 1 Thessalonians. But people who are on holiday now from school, 2 weeks off, you could read the whole book of Mark in the next couple of weeks quite quickly. And you know what it's about now. It's got 3 bits. The first part is in Galilee. Second part, making the journey. Third part, where he has that conflict and gets killed in Jerusalem. Why not do that? Anyway, we are going to be thinking about this third part today. Two very important things happen that help us understand Jesus. The first thing happens at the temple. Look at verse 38. What happened at the temple? Gloria. What happened? Yeah, the curtain was torn. Yeah, the curtain was torn. So verse 38 says, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. When have I already said something was torn in Gospel according to Mark? When did that happen already? Not Jesus ripped, but the heavens were ripped. Yeah, when he was baptized, the heavens ripped open and the Spirit of God came down onto Jesus. And it's this word for ripped only comes up twice in Mark's Gospel. The beginning, at his baptism, God rips the heavens open and came down, and now God rips the curtain in the tabernacle. And 2 weeks ago, the adults, we were looking at a prayer in the Old Testament. You're trying to tell my sermon. Let me get to that. that is pointing out something that's in the Bible. Mark, can we have the next slide? I think this has got it. Here we go. This is the prayer they were praying in the Old Testament. If only you would tear the heavens and come down. And then it happens. Here comes Jesus. He gets baptized and God tears the heavens and he comes down in the person of the Spirit. And now that same tearing word is here when Jesus dies on the cross. Okay, the same tearing word. Tearing the heavens makes us think of God bursting into the world. This is not just a window so we can look up and look in and see what God is doing. This is actually God coming down to be here so that we can know him. This is not just God using a man called Jesus from a long way away. No, Jesus is God. Jesus is God on earth doing the things of God. It's a God thing. It's happening on earth, but it began in heaven and God is doing it here on earth. And the ripping of the temple curtain is part two of that. Now, what does that mean? That the curtain was a barrier, a shield, a protection, because to be close to God is dangerous. In the middle of the temple is the most special place. But people who went into that special place, they got burnt by fire if they went in when they weren't supposed to go. They got burnt by fire. Now God has finished with that barrier. That means we don't need to go near that one special place to be close to God, but not too close that it's dangerous. Now it's not just the people of Israel who can know God. People from all countries. We see people from different countries in this room. People from all countries can meet him. Let me show you. I've got a model of this. I'll take this up with me. Put it up here so it's easier to see. Here we go. Here's my modern temple. So you can see it's a model of a building. And here's the curtain at the front, stopping anyone from being too close to God who's inside the middle part of the temple building. It's a very dangerous place to be. Now, the curtain was 9 meters tall, so you can see how tall that is compared with a full-grown adult. It's a big thing. And what happens? Do people come and take the curtain down? No, what happens? It gets torn, doesn't it? Like that. And I've used the Bible to show it's God coming out. And which way did it tear, Betty? From the top to the bottom. It's a God thing. It wasn't that people tore it from the bottom up. God came down. He tore it from the top down to the bottom. So, where's my arrow? Here we go. The same arrow. God is coming in Jesus. God is acting so that we can know him. That means we don't have to only pray to God in this building on a Sunday morning. It doesn't mean you have to be looking towards this building. We don't have to work out, where's DPC building? I've got to face the right direction to do my prayers. No, God has finished with the temple, torn that barrier, ripped it and come out so that we can pray to him anywhere. And people from all countries can do that. And some people ask me, they say, do Anglicans believe, does Church of England believe in the Holy Spirit? Yes, we do. He's in the Bible. And Jesus, this is one of the places it talks about or shows Jesus sends the Holy Spirit out to be with his people. So that's the first thing, ripping of the curtain. The next is to do with what the centurion says in verse 39. What does he say? Yes, well done. Surely this man was the Son of God. I'll read verse 39 at the bottom of the page. And when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus saw how he died, he said, surely this man was the Son of God. Now, in Mark's book, if you read the whole of Mark's book, What a great idea. You could do that, couldn't you? You could read the whole of Mark's book. If you read the whole of Mark's book, you'll see some people are saying, Jesus, you are the Messiah. You are the Christ. That's what they're saying about him. You're God's special king. And Jesus says, well done. You're right, I am. But so far, no human being has said in Mark's book, you are the Son of God. When did anyone say, this is the Son of God? I've mentioned it already. When did anyone say, this is the Son of God? At his baptism. Next slide, Mark, please. There we go. You are my son whom I love. God said it. God said, you're my son whom I love. When else did God say that? On the mountain. Next slide. This is my son whom I love. Okay. Now, there's one other time in Mark's book where people say, or where a being says, it's the Son of God. And that's the evil spirits who've got supernatural knowledge. So we've got that. Mark chapter 3. I've done it in red. It might not be so clear. You are the Son of God. But when has a human being said it on their own? They haven't until now. And what a time to say it. What a time to say it. He could have said it when all the crowds were shouting for Jesus. Could have said it then when they were saying welcome. He could have said it when Jesus raised the dead girl to life. He could have said it then. He could have said it when Jesus fed the crowd. He could have said it when Jesus calmed the storm. But when does he say it? When Jesus is dying on the cross. Okay. So that is, Mark has put that in, and that makes us think Jesus is still the Son of God, even when he's dying a terrible death. Jesus is the Son of God when he dies on the cross. Jesus is keeping God's plan when he dies on the cross. On the cross, the world shows how bad it is. The people who hate Jesus show how bad they are and how bad our sin is. Remember, it's sin from within us that makes us dirty to God. That's what Jesus said. It's how bad it is. We'd rather God was dead. And so when people get the chance, they kill the Son of God. But one man there recognizes that he is the Son of God. And if that's how the world treats the Son of God, Jesus said, don't be surprised if it treats you like that too. Jesus said, if that's how the world treats the Son of God, don't be surprised if that's how it treats you too. So children in school, you might get people laughing at you for being a Christian. Or worse things. You might get teachers being unfair because you're a Christian. Don't be surprised, Jesus said. Adults in work, people might ignore you and want to have a conversation, don't include you. They might make it harder for you to get a better job in your workplace. In our families, people who are not Christians can be unkind to us. But don't be surprised. They did it to the Son of God. Because this man realizes that God is not just using a man called Jesus, but Jesus is God. Jesus is the Son of God. God has ripped the heavens and he's come down, and that is in Jesus. At the beginning of the story, at the baptism, and now at the very end of the story when Jesus is killed on the cross. Jesus is the Son of God at the beginning. Jesus is my Son, says God, in the middle on the mountain. This is the Son of God, says the man at the end. He realized it. Have you realized it? Have you realized how special Jesus is? But how can we know God? How can we be children of God who made everything and runs everything and knows everything? It's through God the Son. God has ripped the heavens. He's come down. He's ripped the tabernacle because he's finished with that way of things. He's now made it possible for people from all nations everywhere to know him. It's through Jesus. Praise God. And if you've realized that, like this centurion, put your trust in Jesus. Trust that he is the way you can have life, because a terrible, terrible day is coming when people who are not ready are going to be shut out forever. And we must be ready for that day. But if we're trusting Jesus, we are ready. Let's say a prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can pray to you and call you Father, even though you are the God who has made us and the God who makes everything work and the God who knows everything everywhere. Thank you for the amazing way that Jesus has come into the world so that we can be in your family. Please help us believe and be sure that he is the Son of God, your Son. Make us good at listening to him, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.